We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark here from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
And I'm Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and also Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And we are here. We said it. I'm sorry, I didn't start paying attention.
You like it when we say it together.
No, so I'm gonna do it together?
Sure.
Okay.
Wrestling with the basics.
Okay.
Ta-da!
Oh, yeah, do that. Give the fanfare. Come on, yeah. There you go.
That's fanfare worthy, sure.
And be ready. Be ready with the fanfare we promise people. By the way, we're not doing bad jokes anymore. We're not doing bad puns, but we are doing lexophiles. Lexophiles. These are celebrations of the wonder of the English language.
Should we qualify? We're not doing bad jokes for this week.
That's right.
Next week, who knows?
That's right. No guarantees here.
It's hard not to revert to our old ways.
But again, thank you to my father-in-law, Jerry, who sent us these things that might be bad jokes. You could, but they're not. It says right there on the look there.
Lexophile, I know.
That's what it says.
That sounds...
Subject, right there.
Yeah, I know. Lexophile. You're exactly right. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, apparently somebody does a contest where you submit things that are kind of play on words, and they're, I don't know if they're voted on or they're graded. I'm not sure how it works. But today we have the top three lexophiles from this year's competition.
Oh, I've been waiting all week.
Okay.
Finally.
And because you love them, Matt, I'm letting you have, and also because it's just a totally terrible thing. I'm leaving you with number one.
Hot dog. All right. Here we go. What an honor.
Your enthusiasm just amazes me. So here's number three. When she saw her first strands of gray hair, she thought she'd die.
I can see that. The reason why that one's only number three. Huh?
Here's number two, and this has kind of got a double thing here.
Oh,
not
boy.
One, but two. So don't get too excited.
Okay.
Acupuncture is a jab. Well done. That's one.
That's one. Yeah.
That's the point of it.
Oh no!
Holy cow!
Okay. So you think it's funny, but then you get that second half, and it's really
it's
funny.
Really funny. And finally, Matt, I reserve you the number one lexophile.
Those who get too big for their pants will be totally exposed in the end. And that was our number one lexophile.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, who voted on these again?
I have no idea.
Was it your father-in-law?
Well, my father-in-law sent them to me.
Okay.
But who made these decisions? I have no idea.
No, those are good. Those are fun.
They are cute.
Yeah, thanks for sharing those.
And now.
Yes. Now.
Where's our thing?
All right. Now, there's no time for foolishness.
Yes, there is. So, Matt, you've got some material you wanted to share with us today, and we're going into the epistle of the. It's not the Philippines, right?
Not the Philippines. No, the Philippians.
Philippians.
So,
okay.
So Paul. Yeah.
Did they live in the Philippines?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
No.
Sorry.
We're doing this Old Testament study at Ascension, and we're going through a kind of a survey of the whole Old Testament, and now we've gotten to
Hold it. This is in the New Testament. Don't try to fool me.
I know. It connects here, though.
Oh, it does. Okay.
All right. So,
are you trying to tell me that the Old and New Testament are connected?
Yeah. Oddly enough.
Okay.
No, but we were talking about the book of Philippines here. No, we have a guy.
Philippians.
We have Bob yeah. Kiefer in our Bible Sunday morning Bible
not
study.
Bob.
And, you know, you watch out for Bob. So we've got the last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. Okay. But
don't ask me questions like that.
Every time we start talking about it, Bob calls it Malachi. So. an Italian spin on it, I guess. Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Yes. Have a point. Yeah. It makes it so much more interesting.
I'm not sure
for
if that one did have a point.
Okay.
So we're back to the Philippines. Philippians chapter 1, if you're listening and reading along at home. So Philippians chapter 1, begin with verse 19, if we want to go ahead and start there. And to sort of set the scene, Paul is writing this epistle, kind of another word for letter, this letter yes. to the Christians there in Philippi. And to keep in mind, you know, do you remember where Paul's writing this letter from, most likely?
Is he in prison?
Yeah, so this is one of those, we call them prison letters sometimes. Yeah. So Paul, most likely in Rome here, and under arrest, imprisoned in some way, whether he's in prison or in house arrest, you know.
He does mention
his chains, he mentions guards, so yeah.
I was going to say, isn't this the same section where he talks about, which seems so striking, that it's really been good for the gospel, that he's in jail.
Yes,
I thought, well, that's crazy.
What are you talking about, Paul? Good to be in jail? Ugh. How could that be?
So, because he said now everyone gets to know about the gospel here in the Imperial
Guard.
And he talks about how Christians now are being bolder, they're being braver because they know that he's in prison.
Yes. And that's all part of what we want to talk about today. It doesn't really make sense that this would be a good thing that Paul's in prison, but yet it is. And he acknowledges that it's good for the gospel. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. So let's go ahead and jump right in with Philippians 1, begin with verse 19.
Now in my version here, it actually has a little section from verse 18. Is that okay if I read that?
If you'd like to read that.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Sure.
Well, I just didn't want to do anything you didn't want me to do.
Okay.
So this is okay?
That's great.
Okay. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account.
Okay, I think we can stop
there.
All
right, good.
But what I love here is how Paul talks about life and death, and especially verse 21, to live is Christ, to die is gain. We had a, if I could tell a story here.
Sure.
I was visiting with one of our members at Ascension, and he was about to undergo surgery, pretty serious surgery, heart surgery. And he's an older member, and there was a real risk that he might not make it through this surgery. Even if he did make it through surgery, the recovery has risks to it too, infection and all sorts of different things, especially for someone his age. So I'm talking to him, I'm meeting with him and trying to be pastoral and share comfort and acknowledging the risk and sharing God's word, of course. But he really doesn't seem too worried or anxious about it, about the surgery coming up, this big heart procedure. And
how old a fellow are we talking about?
Early 90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
and they're doing heart surgery.
Risk,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, anyway, but he says to me, Pastor, really what we're looking at here is a win-win situation.
Is that right?
And I love that. A win-win situation. And that, I think, is exactly what Paul's talking about here in Philippians. He's facing a win-win situation. If he lives, to live is Christ. He's going to go on sharing Christ, living for Christ and in Christ. If he dies, it's better by far for Paul. It's even gain, he says.
Yeah.
Because really, Paul is facing possible death here. He's imprisoned here in Rome for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And as a Christian in Rome, and here it's probably the year 60, 61 AD, something like that. Emperor Nero's reigning here.
Crazy Nero.
It's not a good time for Christians.
Yeah.
And he knows that like other Christians before him, he too could be put to death. He could be crucified even, like Christ himself was.
Yeah, nothing shocking if that would happen. Like you said, it's happening to all kinds of other Christians who aren't in any way as prominent as Paul is. You know?
Yeah, so it's a very real possibility here for Paul to die. He's acknowledging what very well might happen. But, you know, this danger that Paul's facing, it really doesn't make him timid when it comes to the gospel. But if anything, it makes him more bold when it comes to sharing the gospel. More bold in life and even more bold when it comes to possible death. So I want to look at that phrase, you know, to live as Christ, to die as gain. So first of all, to live as Christ. You know, for Paul, ever since that Damascus Road encounter with Christ, where he's encountered by the resurrected, even glorified Christ, his conversion, until now, Paul really had been living for Christ and in Christ.
Yes.
I mean, it just defines Paul's life, who he is, that he's baptized in Christ, that he lives for Christ, that he strives to know Christ all the better, to share Christ, you know, to live is Christ. That defines his life. But at the same time, like I said, he says to die is gain. And that's probably the one that's the real shocker for some of us. How can death, of all things, be gain? But yet, it's kind of the logical conclusion. For someone who lived for Christ and in Christ in this world, that's really the fulfillment. To die is gain. And those things that we only saw with eyes of faith here on this earth, then to see with our own eyes, to see our Savior even one day face to face, to die is gain. And for Paul, to serve Christ and to worship Christ here on earth, how much greater is that going to be to serve and to worship Christ, our Savior, in heaven, in his nearer presence? So to die is gain, Paul says.
Well, yeah, I like that thought. So if his whole life was about serving Christ, to live as to Christ, and he's doing it here in a world where he has been persecuted. I mean, he has that long list of things, how he was imprisoned and beaten and shipwrecked and all that. Well, then, yeah, it really should be a lot better serving Christ in a place where there is no pain, no sorrow, no tears. You get to do the same thing you're doing here, but without all the bad things,
all the negatives. Stuff. And like you said, serving Christ, because that's part of it. You know, in heaven itself, that's part of what we're doing is serving and worshiping, even still, and it's a joy.
Although I think it is a remarkable thing that it takes an apostle Paul to make that statement. It takes a 90-year-old to make that statement. I had a 101-year-old gal who just passed away a few months ago, and she said to me every night when she went to bed, she prayed, "Lord, take me home." She was ready for that gain.
Yeah.
Although she also told me when she got up in the morning, she was kind of glad she was still here.
But even for her, 101 years old, she could say the same thing Paul says, to live as Christ, to die as gain.
Yeah, because what possibly, she has nothing more here in this life. Life has just become a thing of struggle for her.
Sure.
Just getting up in the morning. But, you know, I think that's the problem for you and me. It's interesting. I was actually reading this text a couple weeks ago, and this text has touched me personally. And gosh, see, I wish I was able to give you something more complete, but there's a possibility that I might have prostate cancer.
Oh,
that's a scary thing.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's just a possibility.
Yeah, sure.
But it does get you thinking about these things. But honestly, at this
definitely.
Point, I'm not ready to say to die is gain. I'm thinking about all the stuff I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
You know, my good buddy Matt and, you know, my family and the ministry and all those things. And of course, this is just foolishness because there's, you know, it's not like they've diagnosed anything. We haven't got to the point where they're taking biopsies or anything, but it's just that thought. But
sure.
What a beautiful testimony that your member made, my member made, the Apostle Paul made. Because, yeah, this is the reality. Whether I feel it or not, it is the reality. It really is a thing to gain when we die.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep you in our prayers, as myself and our listeners too. You know, as you still await the results, God willing, it won't be anything serious.
But yep, hope not.
And hopefully, like Paul too, as God sees that it's necessary for others' account for him to stay around on earth. Hopefully, God sees that fit for you too. It's necessary for us and our listeners that you stick around and keep blessing us.
So please tell God that you really love the show.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Send up some fan mail.
That's right.
I'm going to keep Charlie John around. No, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
So a win-win situation for Paul and really for us too, that win-win, to live as Christ, to die as gain. Paul talks so much about Christ here and in other places, though, that one commentary I was reading called this Paul's magnificent obsession, this to live as Christ. Everything's bound up in Christ, life and death, his magnificent obsession. I kind of like that term. Because when we think about obsession, sometimes it can be kind of a negative thing. And an obsession, the dictionary defines obsession as to have the mind excessively preoccupied with a single emotion or topic. That one thing that we're just preoccupied with. And sometimes people can have strange obsessions. Sometimes they can be kind of trivial obsessions, the obsession to have the perfect lawn, you know, without any clover or any weeds in it. the obsession to be that perfect student, you know, to have that 4.0 GPA, whatever the case is. But for Paul, that obsession is to live for Christ. It defines who Paul is. And unfortunately, we don't always, as Christians, share that same magnificent obsession that Paul has. Instead, we become obsessed with other things, or maybe not even obsessed with other things. Maybe the case is we just don't have an obsession when it comes to Christ, that maybe Jesus is something we're just kind of indifferent to. You know, it's not that we don't like God. Jesus well enough.
He's nice. Yeah.
He's a good guy. And
But I got other things that are more important.
Then I think that's the biggest temptation is just, you know, like we don't give him a whole lot of thought on a day-to-day basis. Just sort of indifferent. We have that Revelation study not all that long ago, where the one church is called lukewarm, indifferent, kind of lukewarm toward God. You know, not cold, not turning a cold shoulder to God, but certainly not on fire for God either, you know, and running hot, but just sort of lukewarm. So there's one writer, there's one book called Crazy Love, where this author describes what kind of it looks like to be indifferent or lukewarm as a person or as a Christian. So I'll just share some of these because I think they're kind of thought-provoking. You know, a lukewarm person attends church fairly regularly, but mainly because it's what's expected of them.
Okay.
You know, lukewarm people tend to choose what's popular over what's right when it comes to debates, you know, when it involves avoid conflict. Lukewarm people, they like to hear stories of people doing radical things for Jesus, but yet they themselves, you know, they don't want to tell people about Jesus. You know, and it goes on and on. But really, I think maybe the biggest temptation when it comes to being lukewarm or indifferent about Jesus is this one. That a lukewarm person, sometimes myself included, will say that, I love Jesus, he's a part of my life, but he's only a part.
Part.
You know, and I think that's the biggest one. That's the one that really kind of convicts me, that sometimes there's the temptation to compartmentalize our lives. And even when it comes to Jesus, we kind of stick him in a corner. During the week, I'm an employee, I'm a worker. In the evenings, you know, I'm a dad. Friday nights, I'm one of the guys as we go out. But for that 1 hour on Sunday mornings, then I'm a Christian. Then to live is Christ for that 1 hour. And we kind of just give Jesus that little corner of our life, as opposed to Paul, who's obsessed, you know, with Jesus. To live is Christ. It defines his life for Paul.
And it occurs to me, Matt, see, that ties in really beautifully with the next statement, then to die is gain. If indeed Christ is just a part of our life, then when you think of death, you think, well, okay, I still get Jesus. But I lose everything else. You know? Okay, we understand. I'm going to heaven to be with Jesus, but I've lost everything else. Whereas if you begin to see that your whole life is about Christ, the fact that I do have a beloved wife who has been such a rock for me during these testing and doctor visits, and that I have children that, again, have been just such a great comfort to me, and I've got people like you, and when you begin to see that all of that is a blessing and gift from Christ, then you can realize why to die is to gain, because the tension here, Matt, is all the stuff I have, I am going to lose it. That's a reality. Whether I want to or not, I have no control over that. It gets picked away bit by bit, I think, which is why the 90-year-old and the 101-year-old can say those things, because they've already lost a bunch of stuff. They've probably lost spouses. They've lost family. They've lost friends. They've lost physical abilities and stuff. But that's why to die is to gain, because we're going to get all that stuff back, and we're going to get it back permanently now. We'll never have to lose it again. I think of Peter's, you know, we've given up everything to follow you, Jesus. And Jesus' response is, well, you know, everyone who has lost mother, father, lands, house, property, whatever, they'll get it all back a hundredfold if they've given it up for me, plus eternal life. So I appreciate what you're saying there, because, yeah, if we view life as being Jesus just a part of it, well, then, of course, death is a horrible thing, because the only thing we get to keep is Jesus.
Yeah.
If you see life as something that everything about Jesus, and it's all Jesus' gift, then, of course, to die is to gain, because we get it all back a hundredfold.
Because it's all, yeah, it's all about Jesus.
Yeah,
all a gift from him, like you said. Yeah. Good. That's a great point. And then when it comes to being indifferent or lukewarm, when it comes to Jesus, you know, the good news is Jesus is never, ever indifferent or lukewarm toward us. And what a comfort that is. I mean, there's no amount of our indifference or lukewarmness that could diminish our Savior's love for us. No way. He loves us with an everlasting love. You know, someone who's lukewarm or indifferent isn't born in a manger or isn't in the wilderness for 40 days without food. And someone who's lukewarm or indifferent certainly isn't going to die on a cross or promise to return someday. So that's the good news I want our listeners to hear, too, is that even though those times we may be lukewarm toward Jesus, myself included, Jesus is never lukewarm or indifferent toward you, but he loves you, eager to forgive you, lavish you with forgiveness, and he desires to be in you as well. Paul puts it this way, you know, elsewhere. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me.
Yeah.
It's all connected to Christ.
If I could
go ahead.
Well, just could we read the next few verses?
Yes, because
there's
sure.
one
right
other
ahead.
Thing that tickled me about this too. So Paul has been saying this about living and dying as gain, and yet, you know, I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But I always like this next verse too, maybe to wrap up. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. And I just, as a man who's personally wrestled with this, that always tickled me, because the same Apostle Paul who is saying, yeah, to die is to gain, is also in his flesh saying, but, you know, I think I'd rather kind of stay here, just like the 101-year-old. And, you know, in fact, I think I've got stuff to do here. And you can kind of hear him arguing with God, can't you? That God, really, I shouldn't die. You know, I need to go by and see those people in Philippi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that tickled me. So if there are people out there that are wrestling with these things and don't feel this confidence that, oh, that to die is to gain, but are still reluctant, that's okay. I think we can do that too. That's different than being lukewarm, isn't it, Matt? It still shows a concern for the Lord. It shows the fact that we're little children, as we talked about last week, a little faith. But that always takes me about Paul. It's kind of like Paul saying, yeah, well, you know, I'm ready to go, Lord, but maybe I should stay here.
Yeah, and stay here not just for himself,
but
for the sake of others and sharing Christ with them. You know, that idea that we don't live for ourselves, but we live for him. And as long as the Lord keeps us here on this earth, whether pastor or people, he's got a job for us to do. And we pray that we would live for Christ and in Christ.
And that is why we want to stay, because there are people that we want to love and care for as Christ has loved and cared for us. Yeah,
that's right. And that's a good, salutary, wonderful thing, too.
Well, thank you, Matt. Thank you for sharing the Philippians with us there. And we hope everybody has been blessed by the Lord God, and we'll look forward to talking to everyone next week.
You bet. We'll keep you in our prayers, and hopefully you can keep us updated, too, on what's going on. So, yeah.